Welcome to NutriSante with Susan Baker, a show that offers the latest news and cutting-edge information on mind-body nutrition, food politics, and environmental sustainability. Topics range from pollutants in our food that result in food-related allergies and sensitivities, as well as our relationship to food and issues surrounding food origin.
NutriSante Show, I'm Susan Baker, your host. You're listening to the Dream Vision 7 radio network at 1510 AM, Revolution Boston, in beautiful Marina Bay. To learn more and for a full station schedule that includes our affiliate showtimes, please go to dreamvision7radio.com. So I hope everyone enjoyed this summer-like weather today. It was about 77 up where I am in New Hampshire, and Very much not seasonal, but I enjoyed it. So I hope everyone else is having a great day and looking forward to more of this great weather. I have a really special show tonight. For those of you that know me on Facebook, I'm sure you're aware that I do a lot of posting of animals that are facing an uncertain future in shelters across the country. And many of them have a very short amount of time to get fostered or adopted into permanent homes. So I don't need to stress that animal safety and welfare is a huge concern of mine, but this is what tonight is all about. And I'm thrilled to have my guest here with me tonight. She is Michelle Lowry. She is the creator and owner of Nico Natural Therapies. She has been offering energy work and nutritional information to people, their horses, and their dogs since 2000. And I'll just say a quick hi to Michelle and give you a little bit more background information on her. So thanks, Michelle. How are you?
I'm doing great, thank you. How are you?
I'm good, thanks. Did you enjoy the weather today?
It was beautiful today.
Yeah, I know. I wish it would stick around. I'm sure it's going to get cold again, but we can't think about that, right?
Correct.
So you have a fascinating background. You are you're not from New Hampshire.
Not originally.
But you've been here since 2000, I guess?
Since 95.
95, okay. And you were introduced to alternative therapies through your dogs at the time, who were Nira and Kobo, your Rhodesian Ridgebacks.
Correct, yes.
And then your horse Echo, who you just you still have, and you just found him a new home that you have full care of him now. Is that right?
I do, and it's fantastic.
Yeah, it is. It's a great thing. I don't have full care of my horses, but and sometimes I miss it, sometimes I don't. But it is wonderful to have that relationship.
Yeah, I get to see him every day now and communicate with him.
That's awesome. So you, what you do with the animals? You've been working with the animal kingdom for over 10 years, and you basically bond with them to give them a comfortable environment for them to share their story with you. You do communication work, Reiki, and you basically just key into what traumas they've experienced in the past, whether they're coming in from a shelter, which we'll get into more later in the program, or just coming in with their owner to one of your classes.
Right. Yes, I found that through the experience with my own animals, and then through some training and then experience with clients also, that I have this gift where I'm able to tap into the animals and their needs through communication work that's done either visually or audibly, definitely through feelings. So I'm able to figure out what their story is and find out what their issues are on a much deeper level than possibly a surface issue.
Mm-hmm. And so did that come to you? I mean, I didn't get into your background about the shamanic healing works, which is, I guess, what we're referring to when we say tap into the animal story. Is that's what you're utilizing to be able to communicate with them? Would that be true?
Yeah, I mean, it's a combination, I think, of the energy work that I do, and also I've always had an incredible bond with animals since I was a child. So I've always had a connection to them and always loved to be around them. And, in fact, always loved to be around them more than people sometimes.
Right. Well, I can relate to that. And you've worked on one of my dogs, Nugget, who is everyone who has listened to my show has heard Nugget's story. The founder of Bruised Not Broken was on my show several months ago, and we talked about the animal work that she does in New York City. And Nugget was a rescue. He was actually in a dire situation. I found out about him just by chance the night before he was scheduled to be euthanized and had absolutely no opportunity of rescue or foster. And I drove down to get him the next morning, did a round trip to New York City, so 8 hours in the car for me, 8 hours that have changed my life so incredibly in such a positive way that, so I had you work with him, or you were gracious enough to come to work with us, and I could see immediately the way that he related to you with his body language, his behavior. And we're laughing because he was a little bit, he actually was being a little bit too forward with you. But honestly, I mean, when you started the Reiki treatment, and I've worked with Reiki myself, and when I had my horse property, I took in horses that were, I worked with a nonprofit rescue for horses. And so I've been aware of what you do for a very long time. But to actually see it with your own dog, you know their personality, and then for him to submit to you, sort of, and I don't know if that's the right word, yeah, but to trust you enough to allow you to work with him and have him just absorb the energy work. And he's been a complete, he used to shake, you know, from a trauma that he experienced. He was homeless in New York City. He was found on the streets with a sign around his neck that said, "Please take care of my dog." And then when he went into ACC in New York, in Manhattan, he was placed on the euthanasia list very quickly because they didn't know his background. He was an unneutered pit bull, so high profile for not to be placed. And so so he used to shake in his sleep, and it was very traumatic shaking. And since you've worked with him, that shaking has completely gone away. And it was gone the same night. I mean, he didn't exhibit anything of that. So, and he's a different, his energy is different. He's a happier dog. He's much more trusting of things that might be new for him. And he's much more settled. It'll be a year and a half that I've owned him or he's been in my life. And he's now quite certain that, you know, he knows he's not at risk of going anywhere. That is something I know that was one of the reasons that you do this. How did you, with your dogs and Echo, I mean, tell me more about your dogs. How did you know that this is what you wanted to do?
Actually, I didn't know that this is what I wanted to do, and it was through my own animals that I was really guided into this work. And my first two dogs, the Rhodesian Ridgebacks, really did guide me into the nutritional work and how important it was to have a dog on really supreme nutrition to keep them healthy. But also I learned about aggressive issues and emotional problems and found that just changing the diet can make a huge difference to the health of the dog and to the emotional abilities of the dog and what needs to get changed.
Mm-hmm.
So that was really my kick into having a better understanding of animal wellness, but coming from a whole different angle, stepping away from traditional care, at least with the nutritional piece, and going into a whole other place. And then through that, I really learned how to listen to the dog and see what it was that they needed and what they wanted, and to understand what they were telling me. I had one dog that was on some severe medication for a while, and I had told him it was his choice. When he stopped taking the medication, I would stop giving it to him.
Mm-hmm.
And so I started to build an understanding of communication before I really knew what I was doing and giving it a label. I don't really label things.
Mm-hmm.
So they really taught me how to listen to their needs and their wishes and what was good for them and what was bad for them.
Well, and on a personal note, I can relate to the medical, the medicinal situation personally, because I have another pit bull Bella, who I adopted before Nugget. I adopted her in 2008, and she was in a New Hampshire shelter that I used to volunteer at. And the shelter actually suggested I be her adopter because she was such a difficult dog personality-wise to adopt. I brought my other dog, Sydney, who's a Shepherd Collie mix, to meet her before we brought her home, and the meet and greet went so well that they filmed it and used it on local cable stations as for educational purposes. And when I brought her home, it turned out that she was really, really, really thin, and it turned out she had a autoimmune condition called Triple M, which is a condition that affects their muscles across the top of their head. So after many misdiagnoses, they thought she had a bulbar abscess. They thought that she had something wrong with her teeth. She went in for emergency surgery. Even that didn't diagnose her properly. She got to the point where her head, the muscle on top of her head was atrophying, and she couldn't open her mouth. And her skull was caving in. I mean, it was awful. My vet saved her life. My vet is Best Friends Animal Hospital in Manchester, New Hampshire. She basically canvassed her medical connections, veterinary connections, globally to find out why this dog wasn't responding to conventional treatment. Went on aggressive treatment with her, and she was on aggressive treatment for 2 years, which involved chemo and steroids. And Bella got to the point, what you described, where I knew the days that she didn't want the medication. She just wouldn't open her mouth, or she wouldn't want to come near me. So I basically had that same thing going on where I would give her the choice. Now she's completely off the medication, and she's totally healthy.
Right.
And so it's almost like once you really understand the animal has a greater wisdom about their own health, they know what's going on, and allowing them to make that choice. Because there were, I will admit, there were few times, not very many, but there were a few times that I insisted that she take the medication, and she got really sick. So I think it's a learning curve for people, and this pertains to people that, you know, adopt a dog out of a shelter, bring it home, issues come up, and they don't really quite understand how to deal with those issues. So the dog ends up going back to the shelter. And you see that in New York City, not frequently, thankfully, but enough that it's such a sad situation because the dog's now back on a high kill list and may not make it out the next time. And instead, if they had someone like you coming in and mediating between the owner and animal, you know, a professional service is what you do, and that's what you're focusing on now. But really getting that animal, what I was saying about Nugget is it's been a year and a half, and it's the same thing with Bella. That first year to a year and a half with an adopted animal, they're not really sure what's going on still. Even if they've been a happy, healthy, safe environment, I think the trauma, it's still in the back of their head, like, well, I don't know, you know, in human words, I woke up one day and I was in a shelter. It might happen again. And I don't know what I did to get myself there. So I think it's just what the work that you do is, and the reason I was thrilled that you were able to come on the show is to talk about this and help people understand that they can bring their dogs to you.
Yes.
And you travel.
Yes, I travel.
Well, you and I have talked about that many times, and you're not sure how far you'll be traveling, but, you know, it's such an effective, non-invasive way of working with a sentient being who really wants to be able to fit in now that they have a new opportunity, but they've got some issues to deal with for
right.
good reasons.
Right.
And the person, you know, as wonderful as they are for adopting that animal, might start to get frustrated or overwhelmed, and then the next decision is they just give up.
And I think the other thing is the dogs that I've worked with very often won't go through their own healing or won't tell their story, which is the gift that I seem to have, is that I'm able to tap in enough to get the story of the history of the dog. They share that with me, which allows explanation of behavioral issues or feed issues or aggression issues, whatever it might be. but they won't go through that healing until they know they're in their forever home.
Mm-hmm.
So one of the biggest pieces of the work is actually the first question I always ask the owner is, are you keeping this dog?
Mm-hmm.
Because once I know that that's a yes, now the dog and I can make the connection so that we can start working on the story and start unraveling all of that. And then the dog is kind of having a therapy session,
mm-hmm.
Sharing information with me, which I then share with the owner.
Mm-hmm.
And it's been an absolutely incredible experience, obviously very moving at times, but you can also see how the dog starts to relax and unwind as the weight they've been carrying for who knows how long starts to get released.
Mm-hmm.
It's incredible.
Mm-hmm. And something that we can all relate to, because when we as humans go to a therapist or a professional counselor or even massage therapy, we're going for a specific reason of releasing something, whether it's an emotional blockage or physical manifestation of a blockage. You know, we need to get rid of that, too. We know that we can't be carrying this around, but with a dog or a horse or cat, they don't know any other way. They're carrying it around, and then sometimes their behavior, they're acting out because they're not releasing the trauma or the burden.
Exactly.
And so, you know, to have this ability to, and I know with Nugget, you know, you picked up on his, and it's something that I've been very careful about. You picked up on that he was traumatized by being forced to fight, and the noise of a fighting ring for him gave him flashbacks, kind of like PTSD with people.
Right.
And so I am now very careful, like if there's a sports game on, that the volume is down to almost nothing or nothing, because I've watched his behavior when that crowd noise happens, and he gets a little bit. He doesn't shake anymore, but he will get a little bit anxious, not really sure what the noise is about. Now it's a little bit more routine for him, but I still, being mindful for his own sake has made him also be better behaved, you know.
And that's what they're looking for. They're looking for the understanding so
right.
that instead of it being considered bad behavior,
mm-hmm.
it's understanding why that bad behavior first happened. So I work very much going back to what was the first thing that happened that created this. And once I've created that bond with the animal during the session, they'll show me pictures of the things that have happened to them very clearly. Thankfully, they don't show me anything more than I need to see to get to understand what's going on. But once I have that and I share that with the owner, it almost unleashes a breath of release with the owner going, that's why they do this, that, or the other.
Mm-hmm.
So, again, it's just about tapping in and allowing the animal to share its story
mm-hmm.
and allowing the healing that takes place from that point forward is phenomenal, because the dog now knows that, one, it's not carrying the baggage, and, two, that the owner understands why they're behaving the way they are, so that, like you, they can then go away and continue to work with the dog in a whole different way.
Mm-hmm.
And they may have to come back for two or three sessions, but after that, I very often don't see the dogs again. And that's where my work is. My work is that hopefully I don't see the dogs again from a working perspective.
Right. That's fantastic. And we are about to go to break, but we'll be right back. And if you'd like to give us a call, this is a call-in show. 617-237-1234. We hope to hear from you when we return.
Are you tired of feeling sick and tired all the time? Has the cold weather and lack of sunshine zapped your energy once again? Nutrisante, a holistic health and wellness practice, may have some solutions for you. Want to achieve your health and wellness goals? Feel better in your body? Improve your personal relationships? Increase your energy? Call now to book your free health consultation. 1-603-396-8480 or 1-888-469-1884.
Please join us on Skydance Astrology, the key to your soul's purpose, with esoteric astrologer Charlene Rose Johnson, the third Sunday of every month at 8 p.m. Charlene will discuss how this ancient key of the wisdom traditions works and will conduct sample interpretations of this language of the soul. Your spiritual purpose need not be a mystery. For information about obtaining oral readings via phone or Skype or full written reports, please go to the SkydanceAstrology.com webpage. This program is part of the Dream Vision 7 Radio Network. Join CPA, personal financial specialist Jane Honick, and psychologist Amy Wood on Your Money and Your Life on the fourth Saturday of every month at 3 p.m. and create a new life with money, because it's not about the numbers. It's about your state of mind. Jane and Amy will help you master the beliefs that drive not only your financial life, but all the areas of your life that matter. With new awareness and a positive attitude, you'll be on your way to creating a life of greater prosperity. This show is part of the Dream Vision 7 Radio Network.
Join us every second and fourth Sunday at 7 p.m. for Living on Purpose with Carolyn Romano, where we explore the mysteries, meaning, and sometimes madness of life. Let's figure out together the ways we're meant to serve and become the fullest expressions of our most authentic selves. Let's figure out together how to create lives of balance, abundance, and joy. This program is part of the Dream Vision 7 Radio Network.
You have an appointment with the angels. At My Crystal Angel Show, the angel therapist Livia Jepson will present a fun and lighthearted hour with the company of the angels. Livia and friends will help you to connect with your angels, answer questions from Facebook, and perform angel healing to all the listeners. The first half of this show will be performed in English, the second half in Portuguese. My Crystal Angel Show is every fourth Sunday, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific, and is part of the Dream Vision 7 Radio Network.
Do you need to relax, have a few laughs, and hear some good news for a change? Join us on Eye of the Storm, your calm place in a crazy world, every third Saturday at 3 p.m. Eastern with Charlene Sherman. Eye of the Storm is part of the Dream Vision 7 Radio Network.
This is Dream Vision 7 Radio Network, uniting mankind with universal love. Our shows are created from the heart, bringing each listener to a place of divine enlightenment. Breathe, relax, and enjoy. Let life flow.
Join Dr. Bernie Siegel on Mind Health Matters every first Saturday at 3 p.m., all part of the Dream Vision 7 Radio Network. Bernie will draw from his inspirational personal journey, offering us special nuggets of his sacred wisdom. Listen in as Bernie reminds us to be fully engaged in life.
Welcome back. You're listening to the Dream Vision 7 Radio Network here at 1510 AM Revolution Boston. I'm Susan Baker, your host. So I'm here today with Michelle Lowry. She is the owner of Nico Natural Therapies. And we've been talking about her work with horses and dogs specifically to this point. And we left off before break about talking about how she witnesses body language. Oh, that's maybe where we were going before we went to break. I'm getting ahead of myself here, but I think where we left off, we were saying with the animal, with the watching the animal. You know, I was giving the example of Nugget, and you were talking about how being more mindful, I guess, of that animal's communication. Yourself. So the body language is where I'm going with this.
Right, and one of the things I have done to make myself better at being more into the animal realm and not in the human realm is I've spent so much time watching horses out in the herd, how they communicate with each other, and dogs in dog parks and how they communicate with each other, to allow myself to really understand the subtleties of body language and communication, which as a human race, we've kind of lost the subtlety of it. that less is more. And so because I've spent so much time doing that, when I'm working with the animals, I'm working at their level, their body language, and touch wood so far, no kicks, no bites. And I think that's because I really respect their boundaries and I honor what it is they're asking for or not asking for. And I have no agenda to how a session is going to go because it is totally up to the animal to decide.
Well, and, you know, the other thing, I want to say just a couple of things that came to mind. The first part is with the horses and the herds. You know, when I had my horse property, I had up to 18 horses in from the rescue at a time. I had a six-acre field where I would put maybe a dozen horses out together, and they had a hierarchy of social behavior and order. And it would even get to the point of when they knew it was time to come in, and I have pictures of it. I should actually post them on Facebook, of them standing head to toe in a line at the gate. And they always went out and came in the same order. And if someone tried to, move in on that order, they would get a kick or a bite or, you know, there would be bedlam for a few minutes, you know?
Yeah.
And so, and that horse was always trying to move up in rank, typically, or just be, maybe it was a young horse that was trying to get social order established for itself. But I had one, his name was Captain. He came into my property with that name, but he was the captain. That was who he was. And he controlled everybody, in a good way. He raised the young ones, and it's quite fascinating. And with dogs, you know, the same. I've had dogs all of my life, and watching the social order amongst dogs has been fascinating for me. But the other point I wanted to get to, for people that haven't had this experience, if you're used to more of a dog trainer, their methodologies are about body language. And, you know, I took in my first pit for some training before she got sick, and it was all about where your hand was, where your shoulder was, where your hip was. I had dinner at a friend's house. He went through the Cesar Millan training, and it was quite, I've never seen a human and a dog interact this way to the extent they did. He could just slightly change the angle of his body, and she would respond without question, and there were no words spoken. You know, so what you're doing, I'm just trying to bring that into people's realm of understanding, who this might be new information for them, but to understand that it is what dog training is all about. It's what horse training is all about. Natural horsemanship is all about body language.
Yeah.
And so what you're doing and getting connecting in with the dog or the horse, and you work with cats as well.
Yes, I do.
Is a very natural process. And then to have the understanding that animals have thoughts and emotions that you can then connect with, I think is the big leap that I'm trying to get to for people that are not aware of this potential. If they are looking for a solution or if they're thinking about rescuing an animal, someone said to me earlier today that they run a rescue, and when they hear someone say, I don't want a shelter animal because they've got issues and problems, the first thing they do is show them on their phone all the shelter animals that are available for adoption. And they're all these beautiful, perfect species, you know, examples of a dog or a cat. Getting onto larger breeds, horses, same thing. You go to a horse shelter, they're all perfect. So it's really not, I mean, to that point, you might be dealing with the same issues if you go to a puppy mill and pick up a puppy. You know, and I'm not someone that advocates puppy mills by any means, but or breeders. You know, you just don't know what a dog's personality is or a cat's personality, a horse's personality, until you get them into your own realm of who you are and how they connect with you or don't connect. There are many people I've heard who have horses that say, you know, that horse and I just never got along. And if they had someone, if they knew you and had you come work, it would have been a different story. It would have been a different outcome.
Yeah, and I definitely have always told people it's a two-for-one deal.
Right.
Because of that reason, because the work that I do is not only for the animal and what the animal is needing in its own healing, but how does that reflect on the family, the owner, if it's just a one-on-one relationship. And it's incredible how much of the healing that the dog is working through or the horse is working through relates back to the owner.
Mm-hmm.
And how the emotional stuff that's going on with the animal will tap into something with the owner.
Right. So, well, okay, so which then results in the physical manifestation, right? So you hear the old adage of, you know, the dogs and the owners look alike.
Yep.
So it's usually a cartoon that depicts that, but it's typically very true.
Yeah, very true.
I'm not sure which dog I look like, but I would think it's Bella, since she and I are the only females. But she and I have very, very similar personality quirks. But the other two, you know, bring in different things that reflect my personality. So, and I theirs. You know, so yeah. it's a very interesting situation.
It becomes fascinating, and I think the other piece to it, too, is what are we learning from this whole experience?
Mm-hmm.
And that's, again, just another piece to this work that has just come forth. It's never something I really was looking to create in a session, but the sessions just flow in their own way and create an environment for healing wherever that healing needs to happen.
Mm-hmm.
And certainly I've had the same experience with my horse and my dog in what they've taught me about myself and the things that will help me to get better. But also within that realm, I can then apply everything I'm learning from that into my sessions. So I've learned so much about myself and the relationship between a dog and a horse and an owner, that when I go and see a client, if it's a horse or a dog comes to my office, I'm able to start to look at what the dynamic is.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, the dogs in my office, I don't even do anything with them for the first 10 or 15 minutes. I want to just see what the dynamic is. I'm watching body language. I'm letting the dogs settle into the environment that's been created for them. And then the dogs will actually come over to me when they're ready
mm-hmm.
To be worked with.
Mm-hmm.
And then we just take it from there and see where it goes.
Mm-hmm. So are there, speaking of the dogs, whether do you have examples of dogs in shelters that you've worked with that you would like to talk about? Like,
yeah, I have so many stories, but one of the first dogs I ever worked with is a dog called Riley, and I met him down in Portsmouth, New Hampshire, and the couple that owned him had brought him to see me. And it was kind of a two-reason session. One was that he had some physical issues, and the other reason was that every time the man of the couple came home, that Riley would bark at him. And they'd had this dog a while, and they couldn't see a reason why the dog wasn't associating with the man in the relationship, and never biting or anything like that, just this barking. So they brought him to me, and this was definitely a dog in his forever home. The couple were extremely open to this work, and that always helps a lot.
Mm.
And the dog came, and I don't have an agenda when I'm working with these dogs, so they really do guide how this is going to happen. And so I started working with Riley, and he seemed to know exactly why I was with them and what I was offering. And so the vision that he showed me was... The vision that he showed me was of whoever his previous owner was, a man, that whenever the car pulled up in the driveway and the man would get out, after the man came through the front door, what was going to happen to Riley wasn't going to be a positive experience.
Mm-hmm.
So Riley's fear was the man coming through the front door. It didn't matter that this was a man he knew, because the fear was still triggering
mm-hmm.
the old response.
Mm-hmm.
So at this point, you know, we're all virtually in tears, just figuring out what had been going on. And then I did the Reiki session, and we started to release some of that, those feelings and that history, and starting to help him to kind of reset some of those thoughts and those emotions. And I have to say that he did extremely well. He's doing awesome. I actually use him as a demo dog in a lot of my classes, and he's become what I call now a Reiki junkie. In that when he sees me, he knows exactly what I'm there to offer.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't matter whether he has an appointment or not. If he sees me, he expects a Reiki session mm-hmm. of some kind.
Mm-hmm.
And he totally guides every session. He'll move his body. I actually have a video on my website, and he's in it. And he will roll over, he'll move, he'll change direction. And I basically don't move, and he puts my hands where they're needed for him in that moment.
And before I forget this, speaking of your website, what is the best way for people to get in touch with you?
My website is Nico Natural Therapies, nikoe@gmail.com.
And Niko is N-I-K-O-E, and it's all one word.
It's all one word.
Mm-hmm.
And you can also reach me by phone on 207-289-0009. All the information on my work and my history and the classes that I offer and the private sessions are all on the website.
Okay. And I'd like to offer the call-in number if those of anybody's out there that needs that information again or has something they'd like to talk with Michelle about. The number is 617-237-1234. Again, 617-237-1234. So something, you know, interestingly, whenever I talk to you, I feel like, you know, we've met for coffee a couple times and it's been a three-hour coffee meeting because we always have, we're feeding off of each other with thoughts or ideas. And what you were talking about with Riley in the previous situation, the fear factor. So how many of us can't relate to that in life where you, right, you
right.
come into a new you're in a totally different situation, whether it's a relationship, a business environment, you're working with a client, and something happens that triggers you back to a past experience that was really not pleasant. And your body goes into that over cortisol production, fight or flight kicks in, all you want to do is leave, or you're expecting the same experience. And so you think, oh, I have this figured out, I'm not even going to participate. I know it's not worth my time. Or I know, you know, in Riley's case, I have to defend myself or act like I'm going to defend myself. And all of those are human reactions. We all do it. And it's all fear-based. And we, when you think about motivational messages and positive thinking, and it's all about not, someone actually posted a sign on Facebook that said, it looked like a parking sign. It was white with red lettering that said, or an animal at an animal park, please do not feed the fears mm-hmm. instead of please do not feed the bears, right? So it's true, though. It's really all about an animal situation. They don't know. They make, if you want to go back to Pavlov, which I don't like at all, but that was based on the same methodology. Ring a bell, the dog salivates, right? So going back to this other dog, the man walks in the door, and something really unpleasant is going to happen. It doesn't matter that it's not the same person. It's the same set of circumstances. So people don't realize that they can't. I know a lot of people get caught up into, it's not even, you know, they don't connect back to the whole methodology, the whole psychology of the animal's cognitive behavior. And that's what gets the dog kicked out of the house.
Yeah, and I think, too, that it becomes important to understand that you've done this great thing, you've adopted this dog, you've rescued the dog, you've found the dog, whatever, however you manage to bring that dog into your home. And very often people, again, I think it's more of a human trait than an animal trait, are like, well, everything should be fine now.
Right, you're safe, you're home.
Yeah, and
you know,
the dog's supposed to know that now they're fine and nothing bad's ever going to happen to them. And very often one of the things I tell people is, have you told this dog he's never leaving?
Right.
If this is a dog that is 2 years old and had 10 homes already, how does he know that he's
right.
not moving on to another home? So why should he heal?
Right.
Because they're in survival mode.
Right. And when we come back from break, we're going to talk more about that and many other topics with Michelle. So please stay tuned.
Welcome to In Spirit with Maria Halverson. I'm Maria Halverson, your host. In Spirit comes to you every third Sunday of the month at 6 p.m. to bring you stories that will inspire you to open your hearts and minds to the afterlife. In Spirit is part of the Dream Vision 7 radio network.
Horses and quantum concepts are a usual thread of thought. Look for Patricia Cleveland and the Balanced Horse Project the first Sunday of every month at 6 p.m., all part of the Dream Vision 7 radio network.
Ever wonder what your life has in store for you or what is the next best step for you to take? Tune in to Ada Marie, the true golden oracle, extraordinary life extension specialist, seer, healer, teacher. Hear your answers every Sunday at 10 a.m. Eastern on Dream Vision 7 Radio Network. Listen and be amazed.
Talking Alternative is your 24-hour alternative to mainstream talk radio, with topics like astrology and acupuncture, dance and divorce, politics and nonprofits. Our informative shows entertain while they educate. TalkingAlternative.com. We are professionals serving community.
Join us on Nutrisante every first and third Sunday, 7 to 8 p.m. with board-certified holistic health practitioner Susan Baker, owner and founder of Nutrisante, a nutrition, counseling, wellness, and education service focused on finding the truth in everyday nutrition. The show is part of the Dream Vision 7 radio network.
You don't see them on the streets. In fact, you're probably not aware of them at all. But there are 100,000 of them right here in Massachusetts. They're homeless children. Child and family homelessness is a crisis in our community. Homeless kids are often transient, staying in shelters when they can, and even living in cars with their families. So they're out of sight and, unfortunately, out of mind. Horizons for Homeless Children is here to help. We're dedicated to improving the lives of homeless children and their families with programs and services to help kids learn and grow and help their families return to self-sufficiency. Join us in making a difference. Become a volunteer or make a donation. Visit horizonsforhomelesschildren.org or call 800-560-7702. That's horizonsforhomelesschildren.org or 800-560-7702.
Are you tired of feeling sick and tired all the time? Has the cold weather and lack of sunshine zapped your energy once again? Nutrisante, a holistic health and wellness practice, may have some solutions for you. Want to achieve your health and wellness goals? Feel better in your body? Improve your personal relationships? Increase your energy? Call now to book your free health consultation, 1-603-396-8480 or 1-888-469-1884.
Songbirds with Dr. Gene Switzer will show us how intelligent pulses continuously flow in and out of us, creating a union between spirit and form, and how we can experience them as code breakers to live in harmony with ourselves and the universe. Part of Dream Vision 7 Radio Network, Songbirds is every second Saturday at 3 p.m.
This is Dream Vision 7 Radio Network, uniting mankind with universal love. Our shows are created from the heart, bringing each listener to a place of divine enlightenment. Breathe, relax, and enjoy. Let life flow.
So, welcome back. You're listening to the Dream Vision 7 Radio Network here at 1510 AM Revolution Boston. I'm Susan Baker, your host, and I'm here tonight with Michelle Lowry, who is the owner and founder of Nico Natural Therapies. And for those of you that might be tuning in for the end of the show, we've been talking about animals and shelter animals are something that we're going to talk more about for this segment. And we really want to stress the importance of everyone that does adopt a shelter animal is doing an amazing thing. And thank you so much to all of you that are doing it or considering doing it. You're giving that animal another chance at the life that they were supposed to have to begin with. And the other cool thing that is happening is you can bond, you can build that relationship with the animal based on trust and love and kindness. So the two of you have this incredible reciprocal relationship that you're not going to experience with anybody else, you know, and it'll be a pure, just a really cool situation, and for you to know that you brought this animal in from a bad background, and they, I was saying to Michelle during break, there was a, I saw a poster recently with a child who had had something bad happen, and it was sitting sort of crouched into a, almost it curled into a ball, and the caption was, "Be mindful with your words, because children will never forget, they can only forgive." And animals are the same, and they do forgive repeatedly.
Yeah.
And even if they're in a bad home, they still forgive. And getting them out of that bad home, it's the when the human needs to forgive for what's happened. You know, so that time of allowing the animal to get comfortable in its new environment and with its new family or person, getting into the new routine, and understanding their place, their social order. You know, what's expected of them? How are they going? Where are they going to sleep? How are they going to be fed? You know, are they going to go for a ride? Or, you know, it's just all different things, right? That it's their world. It's what's important to them. And you have your dog with you tonight, and he went shopping amongst Nuggets things with the bones. And, I mean, that's something that they do when they're comfortable, right?
Right. And I have to say that the relationship that I have with my dog, who's the third dog I've owned, is something I could never have imagined, I could never have created. He's actually my business partner as well as my buddy and my protector and my caregiver and my Are You Okay Mom Today? And he's in most of my sessions. He's in every single class that I teach. And he provides support for people, and very often he'll provide support for a dog that's coming in that's not feeling very confident or has had a bad situation happen. And just his very presence and his calmness, he'll sleep on the chair or the couch in my office, provides the dog, again, with an environment that says it's okay to be here and it's safe. And whether you sit here and have Reiki for 20 minutes or half an hour or an hour, you're protected. Mm-hmm. And he does a phenomenal job of that. But as you've also seen, he has a phenomenal personality, and he just makes me laugh. And him and I have not done an official day's training in the almost 5 years that I've had him, and he's never leaves my side. He comes to the whistle unless there's something really good to eat somewhere else, and just provides me with such incredible reflection on my mood and where I am in the day. So it's a bond that I just, my passion is that people really can experience that bond and that understanding.
Mm-hmm. Well, and it's, I mean, I have Nugget sit in on client sessions with me from time to time, and he's very empathetic to the person's, what they're saying, their tone of voice. There have just been times when someone's gotten sad and he just walks up and puts his head in their lap or gives a paw, and, you know, it's just, or does something silly to lighten things up. I mean, it's really quite remarkable. And when you, there's a lot of things going on in hospitals with Reiki in hospitals for cancer patients and other terminally ill, but also dogs are being allowed to go in as service dogs to hospitals, and not just for terminally ill, but for children and for elderly and nursing homes. And it really brightens up. It's proven scientifically to change the person's mood and to even increase their health and their beat the odds of their diagnosis sometimes.
Yeah, again, just on the point of view of just watching what's going on around me, if I'm walking through a town with my dog, I just blend in with everybody else. If I'm walking through without my dog, I just blend in with everybody else. If I walk down the street with my dog, even if people aren't petting him, it brings a smile to their face. Kids want to come up and pet him. It's a whole different experience.
Right.
And it's just a give, win-win all the way around.
Right. So what's your future plan? What do you see happening?
Last year I started getting involved with a shelter, and I volunteer 2 hours a week, and I go in there and I work specifically with the shelter dogs, and I had no idea that that was going to be such a big piece of my life as far as being able to provide services to these dogs that probably wouldn't get that kind of attention. And I'm actually tracking all of that information. I write down every reading that I do with every dog that I do a reading for. And I really feel that my passion is to work in the shelters more, to work with the shelter dogs, to provide the story that they have had coming into the shelter. And so what that provides is an ability to do healing, but it also provides an opportunity for the dogs to give an awareness of what kind of home they would like to go to so that they don't get returned,
mm-hmm.
so they don't go through that process. Mm-hmm. Although I have seen dogs sabotage their new home because it's not the right one, mm-hmm. and they're not willing to work through that again, and they do come back to the shelter. So I have an opportunity to keep checking in with these dogs, making sure that they're doing well, that they're healing. A lot of the dogs, like you were saying earlier, one minute they're out walking, and the next minute they're in a shelter and the family has gone, are shell-shocked.
Yeah.
They're in the shelter going, what just happened exactly? And so now you've got this dog that has, it's empty.
Mm-hmm.
And so if nothing else, you have to bring back the feeling and the emotion and, all right, where do we go from here? What do we do? How do we do it? What do you need? You know, what do you need emotionally? What do you need in a person? What is it that you need medically sometimes? You know, energy work allows you to feel where there's an imbalance in the body physically.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's been a couple times where I've been able to actually go back to the staff and say, could you check on this dog? And it's turned out to be for good reason. And things that they're run off their feet. They just don't have time to give that kind of individual attention very often.
Right. No, and even, I know, I mean, I know I've met a few of the volunteers in New York, and when I went to adopt Nugget, he had this one woman who was truly his guardian angel. Her name is Carol, and she frequently is on Bruised Not Broken's postings as trying to get the dogs homed. But she stayed with Nugget from 6 in the morning until I got there at 5 at night.
Yeah.
And she wanted, because he was on slated for euthanasia that day, she didn't want to give any possibility to him being alone for even a split second. And so when I finally got to New York from New Hampshire, they were outside. It was a blistering 90-something degree day, and he was lying in a puddle of water on the pavement in the sort of the courtyard of the entrance of the shelter. And I knelt down to him. He had his eyes closed. He was panting. I'd never met the dog before in my life. And I said, hello, Nugget. And he gave me his paw. You know, and so I just was like, okay, let's go. Get in the car, you know. But it's just going back to what happens in the shelter and the people, the shelter employees or the volunteers. The volunteers are really the heroes of the shelters. And a lot of people don't understand that. And but these people, despite the amount of work that they do and the time that they put in, there's always the dogs that don't get the attention they deserve. And in high-kill shelters, they end up being the ones that don't make it out, not for any fault of their own. And so, again, what you're doing with getting these dogs recognized and raising their vibration and getting more people attracted to them as who they are is a really amazing thing. And I can't believe we're running out of time. At the beginning of the show, I told you it would go fast, and it certainly has. I hope that you'll come back on and talk about this some more.
I would love to.
And for people that have just been starting to listen, this is Michelle Lowry of Nico Natural Therapies. That's the name of her website. It's .com. And your phone number again?
207-289-0009.
Okay. Well, thanks again for coming on, and I know we'll be chatting more when we get off the air. For those of you that have been listening tonight, thank you so much. You've been listening to the Nutrisante Show, which airs every first and third Sunday from 7 to 8 p.m. So looking forward to having you join me next time. Have a great couple of weeks, everyone. Good night.
Stay up to date on nutrition news and politics by tuning into the next Nutrisante Show with host Susan Baker every first and third Sunday from 7 to 8 p.m. Be empowered to be the change you want to see with issues surrounding your own health and wellness, as well as the health of this amazing planet that we are all part of. To contact Susan, go to Nutrisante.net. This program is part of the Dream Vision 7 Radio Network.
Take a journey to a place of the divine love within with Deborah Bovee on the Love by Intuition show, Saturdays 2 to 3 p.m. Our message is love in the purest form. The light within us all is a guide to recall our beginning, to learn to love self and humankind, to feel the higher power of our own divinity, to attract love, One Needs to Be Love. Saturday, 2 to 3 p.m., all part of the Dream Vision 7 radio network.